Good evening, everyone. Oh, that was weak. Good evening, everyone. It's good to have you here, and I am so privileged to be here among you. I have followed the IBFNA through the years, been a part of it. In recent years, because of different other things, have not been able to. But we have long appreciated the IBFNA, have followed it for its 20-some years, fell in love with it. And may the Lord continue to add to this blessed fellowship. Amen. I'd like to encourage you to take your Bibles tonight and join me in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to bounce around a bit in the Word of God. And I'd like to thank Brother Mark for that introduction. You know, anybody at the receiving end of those things, you just feel so small and so forth and so on. I like the introduction once that was made of me in my own church, where a person came and said that I was a model pastor. You might have heard this already. A faint representation of the real thing. So maybe that was maybe something to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The conference that you have put together this year has been, the theme is Staying True in Changing Times. What a challenging theme. We do live in changing times. It has been a very interesting time in which we live. I remember as a young person listening to my own pastor. Now, this was a long time ago. Counting the number of times that he said in the message, the times in which we live, the times in which we live. And folks, the times in which we live. Your pamphlet said it well. The times, they are changing. And you might as well note that in our short time with our current president, my goodness, did you ever expect that we would be where we are today? We need to address as fundamental churches where we are today and what to do in times like these. I'm reminded of the verse in the Old Testament that talked about the men of Issachar. Do you remember those men? They were discerning of the times to know what David or Israel ought to do. And that ought to be our charge likewise, to know the times in which we live and to know before God what to do. I hope tonight, my prayer is tonight, to encourage you. Do you need encouragement? My wife was a school teacher for 17 plus years. Christian school for those 17 plus years, and now since she's a reading specialist at one of the public school districts there in Pittsburgh, and in the Christian school system, first grade, second grade where she taught, the kids early on knew how to work the system. And it was always this, whenever she would ask the question was usually, the response was, Jesus, the Bible, or God? Usually those three, they thought they had it right. My encouragement tonight will be just as obvious as that. And sometimes it's the most obvious thing that we lose sight of. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just a few verses out of that, and I want to again challenge you with verse 9, and just if you could follow in your scriptures as we would take the opportunity to read the word. For we are laborers together, Paul would write to that church under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. We are laborers together with God. Ye are, he would say to them, God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, based on that, he continues, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let, note this now, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Then he continues, for other foundation with that building idea, for other foundation can no man lay than that was laid, which is Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then he brings it together. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Shall we bow together, please? Father in heaven, we are so grateful to be here tonight. And I count it a privilege, Heavenly Father, to be among those of like precious faith. To understand, Father, that some of the battles that we have, we are in the trenches together. And Father, you have called us to a great and glorious ministry, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that high and lofty calling. But likewise, Father, you placed us in times like these. And Father, we as well understand that by your placing us in the ministry and in times like these, you have also provided the enablement to be able to endure the times in which you placed us in. I do thank you for the IBFNA, and I pray, Father, that our time together tonight would be of great encouragement. Father, it is not all lost. We're not in a desperate hour. Our God is yet still upon the throne. He is yet a sovereign God. Almighty God is his name. And we bow before him. We do ask your help as we consider your word tonight. May we be faithful to your word. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would allow us to leave our time together tonight uplifted in the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to share with you two things as to how to stay true in changing times. And the passage before you is a very interesting passage. No doubt you've heard it preached upon many, many times. But before I address the passage, let me just ask you one simple question. Do you hate shoddy workmanship like I do? Service today. Many years ago, we had some workmanship done in the house. We had the limited number of amount of money to do some work. And to this day, some years later, we are cursing, not really literally so, but we are really, we hate the job that was done at our house. Unfortunately, it was a friend. Unfortunately, it was a church member. And we had very little recourse to go back after him and so forth and so on. But I hate shoddy workmanship. I believe we need, as the people of God, be concerned about shoddy workmanship. That's what Paul is addressing here in the passage before you. Shoddy workmanship. But first, before we even look at that, I'd like to have you consider the passage, the context of the passage. I believe it's always important to understand the context, the context, the context. If you understand the context, I think that will help us understand the passage before you. First, in the context, who is he writing to? Church of Corinth, obviously. We understand that. The church at Corinth. Amen. In fact, he describes the church at Corinth over in chapter 1. If you go there for a moment and understand verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, this is very, very obvious. You understand this. But I believe it's an important reminder for us. Unto the church of God, verse 2 of chapter 1, which is at Corinth, to them that are what? Sanctified. They're growing in their faith in Christ Jesus. Notice, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm sorry, Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. And then he continues with his traditional greeting. Grace be unto you. But notice, sanctified, called to be saints, the church of God. So as you come back to chapter 3, who is he talking to? He's talking to the local church. We have that a bit amplified by how he addresses the local church. If you follow with me just a little bit, in chapter 1 we just saw that. But notice with me, come down to verse 10, and notice how he addresses the local church. This is the church gathered, the corporate body there, Corinth. Now I beseech you what? Brethren. He was one of them. They were the corporate body together. And he continues on. Notice likewise, he says that's the very same expression, verse 26 of chapter 1. For ye see of your calling, brethren. Notice likewise, chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not in the excellency of speech or of wisdom. Then he continues that discourse there. And then notice with me as well, chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren. And he continues with that mindset. So the context to the church at Corinth, we understand that it's a church epistle. Most of the New Testament are church epistles or related to the church. It is the church gathered, the corporate body. They would have sat together, or at least been at one setting, to hear this letter read to them. The corporate body, we would say it this way, the local church, right? The local church. Now, of that local church, and I'm making a lot of this, and this is a no-brainer, and if you will be patient, you'll see, I hope, in a moment, of this local body of believers. This is an amazing thing to me. If you come back to the early part of chapter 3, notice what he calls this local body of believers. He says in chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even, he says, babes in Christ. What he's saying is, in this area, you're immature. Now, let me ask you, have you ever seen an immature church? Have you ever seen carnal churches? You understand, many of you know this book. They had issues. I like to call the church of Corinth, at least in this first epistle, a bad church. They had real issues. And here what he's saying is, you're acting like a bunch of babes. Now, pastor tried to say that Sunday morning. In another place, he calls them foolish. But notice why they're a bunch of babies. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear. For neither yet now are ye able. And now notice, see, this corporate body, the church here, you are yet carnal. For whereas there was among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And then you understand why. Because there was divisions in the local church. And because of those divisions, he is saying you're acting like immature babies. We're living in a day and age where many churches are acting like immature babies. Now, I take you from where they were. But notice what he reminds them corporately, that church of Corinth, what they ought to be. Go down to where we just read previously. Verse 9. Who is he writing to? The corporate body of believers. Brethren. The local body. And he says, we are, first word picture, our idea of what they ought to be instead of babes and carnal. We are what? Laborers together. Who's that applied to? The whole church. He says everyone in that local church, instead of being babies and in your own little cliques and divisions, we ought to be what? Laborers together. Amen. It's not solely, we understand this, it's not solely the pastor's work, right? It is pastors and deacons and everyone involved in our local body of believers, the local church. We are laborers together. Pastors, we ought to promote that and teach that and preach that. It is not our ministries, my church. It is a group, team, corporate, local church effort. Notice, secondly, I love this picture. Ye are God's husbandry. I picture in my mind God nurturing every plant. And I understand that as he's working among the plants, that plants would maybe develop at different rates. But what a beautiful picture of a local church if you allow God to work in your midst. Third picture. And this third picture, I believe, then is elaborated on. Notice this. Ye are what? God's building. Do you believe that? Now, of God's building, notice what he says. And I believe it's the building metaphor, the building picture that he elaborates on. Listen,
according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. What's the picture? A building. The building there at Corinth. But it can be applied to your church, my church. Notice, I'm the wise master builder, Paul would say, of that corporate body, that local church. I have laid the foundation and another have built upon. But notice, of that building idea, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I just read that recently. And that hit me with a, I don't know any other way to say it, but a big wow. Wow. Are you careful about your building process in your local church? But not you, just you, the laborers together, corporately. You're building upon the foundation. And as we build upon that foundation, as we work together, as God's involved in our lives, we need to be careful how we build upon that foundation. Shoddy workmanship. And that's what Paul gets into then very next. Notice, of course, of that foundation, that building project, for other foundation can no man lay than that was laid, which is Christ Jesus Christ. And that's an excellent foundation. There's no other foundation. Our church work is not built upon any other foundation except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Salvation only through Him. There's no other name under heaven. Folks, that's the foundation that we need to make sure we're building upon in the words of verse 10 again. We need to be careful how we build thereupon. Now, it's that same building idea that continues the wow process for me. Notice, now, if any man build upon this foundation, what's the foundation? Jesus Christ. What are we building? The church. And be careful how you build upon it. Notice, if any other man, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. How are you building upon the foundations, the churches? We are God's building. How is that local work in your place? Now, let me read through this and make perhaps a picture that I think would give us a better way to understand, or a way to understand. Notice again, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. Of this work, remember, being careful, verse 10, let every man take heed how he build upon. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. There's coming a day we will all give an account as to our involvement in our local church. My first point, if I could encourage you in times like this, is the primacy of the local church. And we can't let that go. We've been promoting many other things, but folks, it's the local church that God is concerned about in this day and age. And there's coming a time that our work there at that local church, it's going to be made manifest. That's sobering to me. Notice, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What's the context? God's building the local church. And if any man's work abide, stay, goes through whatever, not shoddy workmanship, if any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. And then, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as so by fire. Then he notice, know ye not.
This is how important in our day and age the local church is. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And remember, take heed how you build upon that foundation. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, I understand. I've heard messages where that's a personal thing. We're the temple of God. I understand it. And we can make that kind of argument through the scriptures and through the New Testament. But with your finger here, take your Bibles and join with me in the book of Ephesians. And I believe Paul is saying it yet a different way in the book of Ephesians, but I think would add an exclamation point to what we are. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 2. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers, he would write, that church, that local church, that corporate body of believers. Now, therefore, ye, that corporate there, are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. So far, so good. And are built, listen, similar language, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The importance of the local church. I understand we're a fellowship, and largely we promote the local church. And that's one of the glorious things about the IBFNA. And we understand the importance of the local church, but do we really understand? Are we concerned about the building process as we labor for the Lord? Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I believe it's still applying to it, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and actually the next chapter, chapter 4. I believe Paul, through the writing of the Holy Spirit, is still applying or thinking about the building, God's building. Notice he says it this way. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of the darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. It's a different story in a different place, but this is how I envision it. The foundation. Jesus Christ. No other foundation. The local church. I'm working with somebody else. And they're working with somebody else. And they're working with somebody else. And we're laboring together for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And together as we labor, we need to take heed how we build upon that precious foundation. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 are our motives of God. Are we in it for the right reasons? Are we doing everything that would bring honor and glory to promote His name, not our name? The picture that comes to mind is a precious picture out of Nehemiah. You remember Nehemiah? I love the story of Nehemiah. Follow sometime the word work throughout the book of Nehemiah. I had an opportunity to be in Jerusalem a few years ago. I want to go back. And just in passing, I remember just one little area, and our guide in an offhanded way said, that's part of Nehemiah's wall. That was part of Nehemiah's wall, right there. And Nehemiah, when it talks about the work, the rebuilding of the wall, it was a work of God. That's found there in Nehemiah. But in chapter 3, it's a glorious passage. It talks about this portion of the wall being built by this family. And this portion of the wall being built by this family. And this portion of the wall is built by, now eventually that would somehow come together. And I can imagine somebody, doesn't say this in Nehemiah, somebody had to inspect the work. It had to be a good work if the wall was still there many years later than I saw. Folks,
the building of our local churches is so important in our day and age. But I'm afraid that there's also a great deal of shoddy workmanship. I'd like to have you just think with me. Ye are God's building, the corporate body of believers. The understanding how important it is, God's word says, how we build upon that foundation that was already laid, the work that we're doing there in our various ministries, and shoddy workmanship. You know, the thing I think that produces shoddy workmanship that we need to promote in our local churches is church attendance. We determine where we are. My pastor, Brother Hill did this to me. We determine where we are by asking a key question or finding out or somehow worming it out. And the key question is, so are you having Sunday evening services? Have you noticed how many are doing away with Sunday evening services? Pastor Hill, even Brother Hill today, was talking to a friend and he says, oh, the friend said to him, you know, Sunday evening services, that church doesn't have Sunday evening services. Pastor Hill says, well, he doesn't have Sunday evening service. Speaking of me, I have an afternoon service and it works for us. But folks, I'm concerned about the lack of church attendance. We're building upon that wall. Take your Bibles, please, and join me in Hebrews. It's my favorite portion of Scripture. If you were to nose about in our church and ask nosy questions like, what passage of Scripture does Pastor Kistler like? They will immediately direct you to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. We're thinking about what produces shoddy workmanship in the building of our local churches. We need to build upon that precious foundation. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want to begin with verse 19 of Hebrews 10. And you understand that the book of Hebrews was written to encourage believers. Who? Jewish believers. Why? Because of intense persecution. They were determined to leave the faith. Now, I believe it was a corporate body as well, but they couldn't endure. And they thought they had it better. You understand the theme. You've heard it many times at another time and place. And the author of this book is saying, no, it's far better with Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, he just finished a passage of telling us that we have a great high priest ascended into the heavenlies, sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, Jesus Christ, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. It's out of that context we come to verse 19. Listen to these words. Having therefore, what's the next word? Brethren. Once again, that corporate sense. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter unto the holiest by the blood of Christ, by the blood of Jesus. First of all, he's saying, as a corporate body of believers, we have a precious possession. We have this. Notice, we have the boldness. Folks, did you ever think about that? The boldness, the opportunity that is ours when we step into the presence of the Almighty to appeal to Him in prayer. We have that access through what? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood makes it possible for me to step before the Holy of Holies and share my concerns. That to me is precious. Amen. Notice, brethren, that corporate body, that possession that we have, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh. There's another thing that we have, not only boldness in verse 19, but we have, verse 21, a great high priest over the house of God.
with those two things, now you're being encouraged. I know the persecution is tough in the times in which we live. That's what he's saying to those Hebrew believers. Now, we have that boldness. We can pray. We have a great high priest who will hear us and intercede for us. What do we do? There's three things that we need to do, and these are family things corporately. As a local body of believers, this is what we need to do. And those three things are normally, or you see them with a let us. Notice, the first thing that I ought to do, my family practice, since I have this privilege, number one, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's a privilege. Since I have a privilege, let us be, draw near, let us draw near. Number two, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Number three, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And how do we do that? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now let's break it down just a little bit. We're talking about building upon that foundation. And I'm suggesting to you that we're building with a shoddy workmanship because of a lack of church attendance in our day and age. Now notice, corporately, verse 19, brethren, let's do these three things. Number one thing, this is a group effort. You notice the let us? It's like a kind of getting together in a football huddle and saying, we can do this. Now, I don't want to really demean the passage by saying the Steeler football huddle. But it's kind of like a group encouragement. First, where does that take place? It can only take place in one place, in the local church. And in that local church, dear brethren, since we have access before the throne of Christ, grace, since we can go into His presence, number one, let us draw near. And I like to say that this way. Let us draw near cleanly. Notice, let us draw near, verse 22, with a true heart and full assurance. To draw near. Why? Because I'm clean before Almighty God. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did for me. As the verse says, I have full assurance of faith, having my heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and my body's washed with pure water. There's two ways that I need to draw near. Number one, obviously, draw nigh unto God. And what? He will draw nigh to you. But you know what? I need to draw nigh to one another. Have you ever been in an elevator that's been crowded? I can't believe it. They have too much time on their hands. But there's actually a study. People scientifically study how people go in the elevator. Where they stand, what they do. I look at the ceiling. But they have people going in various corners. But have you ever been in an elevator and somebody didn't clean or bathe or it was... You know, there's a reminder. We need to draw near cleanly. How do you draw near cleanly? Good place to draw near cleanly is at the communion table, where I can come alongside and ask, are you sure you're clean? They can come alongside of me and ask. And to know that I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me there. And how often it is important for us to regularly, church attendance, gather at the communion table. Let us draw near cleanly. Where could that take place, dear brother and sister in Christ? In the local assembly. In our churches. We need to regularly come together at the table and make sure we're clean with God. Make sure that we're right with one another. Notice there's a second draw near. It says in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Now, I like that hold fast. The idea of holding fast is not letting go. The idea of holding fast is don't loosen the grip. The idea of holding fast there is this. As it was said at an NRA conference many years ago, from my dull, dead, cold hands. No, don't let go. Let us hold fast. Where can we find the encouragement to hold on? In our local churches. I need to come to church and get alongside, and they need to encourage me in the things of the Lord, and I need to be used of God to encourage them. Hang on! We had a friend that's a friend to this fellowship that's been through a lot of financial things. And he said to me once in the email, I'm almost afraid of losing my faith. Where do you find that encouragement to hang on to your faith? In the local church. Third thing, notice this. Let us consider one another. I love this verse. Notice, let us consider one another to provoke, interesting word, to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, this is again, because I have access before the throne of grace, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me, now I need to let us come together, consider it. I like to call this consider corporately. Notice the one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. The word there for consider is this, to look very closely within. It has this as an idea. It has to look very closely within that leads to action. In other words, it has this to inspect kind of and to suggest that you might need to do this and you might need to do that. And that's what that word is. Where else can that take place, especially as we consider 2 Timothy 4 to preach, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering the proclamation of God's word? Folks, the local church is a place where I ought to have the liberty to look closely at you, and you ought to have the liberty to look closely at me. And with that liberty, based on the authority of the Word of God, to provoke unto love and to good works. The word there for provoke is a sharp reprimand. It's kind of what was used in Acts chapter 15 there in the Jerusalem church, where he withstood Peter. Where else can that take place but the local church? I would dare suggest to you that the average parishioner who comes in Sunday morning, punches in his time card, leaves very quickly Sunday after the message, does not give opportunity for us to consider one another closely. That's why we have a time between our services. It works for us. And I'm saying it works for us. It works for us. But we have a fellowship lunch. And we sit across the lunch table. And we use that as an opportunity. I constantly encourage our people to do more than just talk about the Steelers. Do more than just talk about the weather. Get involved with one another. Say to a dear brother, I've noticed that this is happening in your life. Or would you hold me accountable? Where else can that take place but the local church? In fact, this is what the author continues to say. Not only let us consider one another unto provoking the love and good works, then he says that this is how it happens, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. As the matter, some Bibles have, as the custom of some is. And so, but exhorting one another, that exhorting is to let us draw near. That exhorting is to let us hold on. That exhorting is, let us consider. and exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see today approaching. We're living in a day that good works are cutting back. Christian schools are closing. Churches are minimizing the hours. And rightly so. There's a lack of participation. And may I plead with you tonight, the primacy of the local church, and we have to be used of God to encourage people to be involved in our churches, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And notice, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Can I ask you this? Are we in the last days? Are we in the last days? We talked about changing times, staying true in changing times. The first thing that I would offer to you is the importance of the local church and being careful how we lay upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be careful of shoddy workmanship. Shoddy workmanship here is the lack of church attendance. We need to encourage our folks to be involved. Very quickly, there's a second thing that I want to offer to you. That's obvious. I know it's obvious. We know about the local church. But remember, Peter says in his first epistle, I'm writing these things, second epistle, to stir you up, though you know them, to bring these things to your remembrance. There's a second thing. Notice in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I love that. I believe an emphasis on prayer. Church, prayer. Take your Bibles and join me in Luke chapter 18 in closing. Luke chapter 18 as we close. Luke chapter 18. You understand the parable. You've heard it many, many times. And may I suggest that you consider this tonight. In Luke chapter 18, he says in verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not faint. Amen. Saying that there was a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming to she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Notice the punchline. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Talked about the importance of the local church. I want to just end tonight by reminding you, though you know them, the importance of prayer in the context, in the context. Do you know what the context is? It's a previous chapter. It's a previous chapter, and the Lord was discussing with his disciples end time events. Notice in the previous chapter, he talks about the kingdom of God, verse 20 and 21. He reminds them that the kingdom of God is not a king coming down. It's nothing like that. It was, although it was in their mind forever throughout his ministry, he says it's not that at all. They were looking for a physical Messiah. He says it's not that. This is what the kingdom is, verse 20. It's the God, kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom. But they were talking about last things, last events. Notice, he says, then he said unto his disciples, the last days will be something like this. Notice he says, the last days, verse 26, will be like Noah. Notice what they're doing in the last days. And so being the sons of, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man, they did eat and they drank and they married wives, they were given in marriage until that day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and what? Destroy them all.
He's talking to his disciples. What he's saying is the end days is not going to be pretty. It's going to be scary times. Notice he continues with that idea in verse 28. Likewise also as in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. And at the same day Lot went out of Sodom and it rained fire, brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all.
Folks, we are in the last days. And while I firmly believe that we will not go through the tribulation period, amen, I do think it will be difficult days for us. He says, destruction, destruction. Even thus, verse 30, shall it be the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And notice, this is not the rapture that he's talking about. It's in the context of destruction. Verse 31, in that day, he shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house. Let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two in one bed, and one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be out in the field, one shall be taken, and the other left. That's not the rapture. That's sudden destruction. Think as though you were the disciples hearing us. Your heart's going, you're scared. The last verse. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And then out of that, folks, I really believe that in these last days, Caleb was noted for his faith because he made sure that the message he delivered to Israel back in the Old Testament days, that he made sure that their hearts did not faint within them. And we as men of God need to make sure that we're so trusting God that we do not give out the message that men's heart faint within them. But the disciples, I'm sure, were concerned. And the Lord addresses that fear and concern with these words. And he spake a parable unto them, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Can I ask you, how's your prayer life? We're living in difficult days. And they may be greatly intensified. I mean, our world is in a head spin. I mean, it's wacko. You understand that. But then why are not our prayer meetings packed to the ceiling? We're first to complain. We're first to do anything, and the Lord says, listen, lest your heart faint, men ought always to pray. How's your prayer life? The sobering reality is this, verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? 9/11 came. You and I experienced that. I can remember sitting in my office. Somebody came into the building. It wasn't a regular scheduled day. Somebody came in the building. He said, can I just pray? I didn't know him. Never saw him before or since. But can I just pray? But you know, I didn't see an intensity in our people's hearts to pray. With the political climate, with all the things you know that are taking place,
so easy to complain, maybe faint a bit. But staying true in times like these, men ought always to pray and not faint. If the Lord would peek into your life, and He can, those words of verse 8, will He find faith on the earth? You know what that faith is? Men and women, you and I, on our knees before Him. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, I pray that You challenge us tonight. I believe two things that ought to be in place in these last days. Oh, Father, convince us, convict us of the importance of a local church. And may we find those words of Paul as he was led by the Holy Spirit that we need to take heed how we build upon the foundation that You have established in our local works. I pray, Father, that everyone here would be able to go home and encourage faithful church attendance. Father, I pray likewise that You challenge our hearts tonight concerning prayer. We're living in sobering times. We wonder how long the day of opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ will remain open for us. Father, of all of our lamenting, we haven't prayed. Oh God, forgive us. And when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Challenge our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.